Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Nahum chapter 3, we were talking about those that plunder and loot after the destruction. Well, let's end the week on those thoughts.
On his firm foundation for the Bible stands.
I believe that this Antichrist, now we're not going to go into this, but I believe a reading of Genesis 49 where you see that Dan is the rider and the serpent. I kind of think that he's implying there that the Antichrist would come out of the tribe of Dan, but he's really a Jew, but he's out of the European sector of the old Roman Empire. And I believe that that's what's coming down here. But then later, as the Russian coalition falls after the Psalms 83 group, then they fall, the Antichrist begins to set himself up even more strongly in Israel. And then they institute the mark. You can't buy, sell, or trade unless you have his mark. And then he betrays Israel. Now, the total devastation of Nineveh is a picture of the devastation in Rome in the tribulation. I believe in that first half of the tribulation. Nineveh is completely destroyed, and so is Rome in 1 hour. Many believe that's a nuclear explosion, and perhaps it is. I'm not sure, but I know that they are completely eliminated in 1 hour. Why do I believe that? Because the Bible tells us so. So the merchants of Rome from nations around the world who benefited, particularly the shipping and trade, find they lose their wealth. One might say, due to the marauders, defined as rovers who plunder in quest of booty. Let's look at verse 16 again. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and fleeth away. But in verse 15, there shall the fire devour, the sword shall cut thee off, it shall eat thee up. The cankerworm maketh thyself many as the cankerworm, maketh thyself many as the locust. And so he goes on talking about all these things, and just like Revelation 18 mentioned these things here. Okay, now, so what's happening? You say, what is happening here? Well, there are merchants who have prospered. Now there are marauders who are coming in, and they're taking it all away. They're in quest of booty. They're going to plunder. The cankerworm spoileth and fadeth away, we read there in that last half of verse 16. Now, to spoil in a merchandising type of a way means to steal. Okay? They steal. The merchants prospered at the expense of people in an underhanded way. Now, the cankerworm destroys the Assyrian capital merchants. The cankerworm, that which feeds on fruit and foliage, corrupts the foliage and fruit. That is what Satan does to local churches. That's what Satan does to nations. That is what Satan does to Christians of charity and morality and ethics, particularly those who live in the beauty of holiness. Satan seeks to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And so, what happens? They are destroying the nation, but they're taking the things of the merchants. And that's what the Antichrist will do. He and his 10 horns will reap the booty. They'll reap the riches of the great whore. And so too, when I think of an American society that is sex-crazed, with tongues and lips that even make news reporting full of filthy mouths and lying deception of anti-God and anti-Bible and anti-biblical holiness and godliness, we see Satan's been very successful in turning our churches into nightclubs with their smoke and their darkened buildings with the strobe lights and the loud rock music. And even what they're trying to do now is a compromise. You never compromise with the devil, but there is a compromising musical system that takes that music and then tries to apply good Bible words. Look, they call it sovereign grace music. It is still sinful. Anytime you bring sin in, it corrupts. It corrupts. Now, you can have a sterilized operating room, and you can have the people with all the masks and everything on, their gloves on and so forth, and they go in there, but then a man walks in that has some kind of a sickness, a flu or something like that, and walks around, even though that room's been completely sanitized and made ready, it's going to end up infecting people. And maybe the patient that's been cut open, it may mean their death. And I'm afraid that in America, we're seeing the death of many homes, of churches, to where they're just organisms that's walking, that are still there. But God's not there. We have big gatherings. You know, President Trump has a big gathering. When he goes and does these things, you know, in various cities, he'll do it. Boy, we'll see thousands upon thousands are there, and people are in the streets. And those that would support him, or those that would support his challengers, they may not have as big a group, but they have their groups. They're there because they believe in the God that they're behind. I think in our churches, you get churches filled with empty people, and the people come back, and the people come back, and the people come back, but they're still empty. Why? Because they're not growing in righteousness and true holiness. They're not growing in a separation from the world and a separation unto God. Jesus said, if you're going to be lukewarm, if you're going to try to play both sides, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He said, I wish you were hot, an evangelistic fire, or cold, that refreshing waters that edify the fellow saints. I'd rather you'd be one of those than those that are just lukewarm, because that's the world. That's the sin, trying to look like the world, walk like the world, talk like the world. I can remember going to school as a little boy, and sometimes, you know, we'd wear blue jeans because they were the easiest to buy. They're the most affordable. It's not like it is today. Usually, if you're poor, you wore tennis shoes and blue jeans. Now you've got to take out a loan to buy blue jeans and tennis shoes almost. But back in that day, those were the cheapest things. But I remember, because our parents went through the days of America in the 1930s, when the bottom fell out, and we didn't have just a recession, they had a depression. And so my parents were very frugal, so when my blue jeans got a hole in them, They didn't go out and buy a new pair of blue jeans. They got a patch on them. Now, I don't know that too many kids made fun of that. There were some kids that had always had the nicer clothes and things like that. We understood that, and it didn't make a big deal. We didn't feel bad because other kids had nicer clothes than we did. But I look at today, and I almost got a laugh when I see people running around with these blue jeans that have holes from the ankle up to the mid-thigh and like cuts in it, like it's falling apart and all. And they buy them that way. That's why they're sold. And, you know, even in my day, if there was, they were cut up, like we put patches on them, and then if they got so bad you couldn't patch them, they threw them away. Used them for rags. But today, they sell at very high prices what were rags to us. Now, I often tell the story that when I was in high school, there came out a fad that we called surfer shirt. It was something like a banlon, but it didn't have a collar on it. It was a different material. But it buttoned down about two buttons down from the neck to about the mid-chest. And so everybody had to have a surfer shirt. Boy, that was a big deal. I had one. And it wasn't wild or anything. I mean, it's normal color and things like that. It might have been blue or yellow or something like that, but it's just a normal color shirt. It just didn't have a collar on it. It just had a couple buttons on it, and it pulled it over, you know? So I thought that was cool to have that shirt. But do you know that 2 years later, if I would have worn that shirt at school, the kids would have laughed. Says, what's the matter? Did your mother make you wear that? Hey, what's the matter? Did you lose a bet? Okay. What was so cool just 2 years earlier was so bad now. And sometimes I'll ask teenagers, guys and girls, I mean, sometimes you ask a lady, you know, why do you wear that? You know, and you really like it? Yeah, man, this is cool. It makes me look good. 2 years later, it doesn't make them look good, they say. They go to another style. But look, I guess I'm just old-fashioned and what some people would call an old fogey, but I just kind of like the idea that I can find clothes and shoes that are comfortable. I'm going to wear clothes and shoes that are comfortable. Even my car is not a sporty car. It's big enough that I can sit in it. And when I arrive, I don't feel like that I'm going to have a chiropractor to unwind. So I'm just saying is that people are influenced by society and advertising in the world more than they are by the Word of God and its call, because the Word of God calls for modesty.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's truth. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible stands.